Everybody was really singing this morning. As the young folks say, it sounds like you wanted to raise the roof. Thank God for those spirited songs and for Brother Thompson, our song leader this morning. Anywhere is home. And just remember, the one true home you want to get to is the one in heaven. You know, it's with heavy hearts this morning that we stand before the congregation. We heard some sad news a little while ago. And many of you didn't know the young man, and I didn't really know him except to meet him on an occasion or two that he was visiting the church here. But nevertheless, when a child is lost, everybody usually feels it. And so we feel this morning, and we pray for that family, and we pray for all of those who know him and are associated with him. Let us, before we go any further, go to God in prayer. O precious and righteous Lord of heaven, we are blessed once again because you have left us here and you have given us this opportunity to come before thy throne and stand at the footstool and raise our voices up to thee, O Lord. Father, we thank you for all of your blessings that you have given unto us, and we pray that many more might come our way. We pray for the church this morning. We pray for the leaders and their families this morning. We pray for those who have been a part of this service so far this morning. And we pray for their families also. Father, we come praying for the sick and the shut in. We pray for those who have been lost this past week or in recent days, O Lord. We pray for those families who are missing their loved ones. And we pray that you give strength unto them that they may understand and be able to move on ahead. Father, we thank you and we pray that there's so much violence in this society in which we live that, Father, we know we need you now. And Lord, we know that you are capable of ending the violence. One person hates one person because they are different in some ways, but yet we're all the same. Father, our blood all runs through our bodies and it is all red. Father, we thank you that one day you sent your son to shed his blood upon yonder's cross for us. We thank you and pray and say just thank you, O Lord, for all you have done for us. Father, we pray and ask you to be with the parents of the children that are coming up this day, that they may raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Father, we pray for those who may be single parents, but especially we pray for those who are parenting together. Oh Lord, that your will might be done in their lives, that they may teach it to their children. Father, we thank you and we pray for everything that's available unto us, Lord, and you have made the world available unto your children, oh Lord. Father, we thank you for everything, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray and ask for all of these blessings and more. Let the church say amen. Amen. To all of the fathers this morning, we want to say happy Father's Day. Even though sometimes being a father is not an easy job, and fathers don't always get the recognition that they deserve. But one thing that's for sure, and that is that one day you'll be rewarded for your good deeds, or you'll be not rewarded as much for your other deeds. So let us take pleasure in knowing that we have a just Lord who will guide us into all righteousness if we but follow his word. This morning we want to talk for a few moments from Luke chapter 8 verses 41 and verse number 42. The Bible says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. This morning, for a few moments, once again, we're going to talk about a father's invitation. In today's text, it shows the plight of a father who has a sick daughter. But more importantly, it shows a man who knew and where to find help in his time of need. The father, whose name was Jairus, though he was a ruler of the synagogue, he was not exempt from suffering. That happens to all of us in this life. Everyone, no matter what one's position, their age, no matter what their race, they will have trials they must go through. Here we see the dilemma of this father, his pain and his reaction. No doubt he questioned himself many times as to what he could do to help his child. Sometimes, as strong as we are as fathers, it may not be enough strength to do what we need to do to help our loved ones. But if we know where our help comes from, we can approach our trials differently. This child was his only daughter. And in the text, the Bible says his only daughter was sick. And she was about 12 years old, at the very tender age of 12. He was watching his only daughter as she lay dying. And if you don't believe it, look at verse 41 once again. It says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." Now, no matter what this man may have had going on in his life, no matter the position he held, he was going through some trials right now. And fathers, you have sometimes trials that you must go through. Sometimes it's a trial of your patience. Sometimes it tests your faith. Sometimes it tests you in general. But you must understand that trials come into every life. What thoughts this man may have had in his mind at that very moment, things he could have stressed that he could have done better. We cannot know the pain this man was possibly going through unless you've been in his position before. But there's one thing I have learned, and that is this. Fathers are, for the most part, close to their daughters. Oh, they love their sons, but they are protective of their girls. When you date a young lady, usually when you go to the house, it's the father who meets you at the door. And sometimes he has questions for you. He wants to know all of your background. Because you're about to take his daughter out. You're about to possibly separate him from his daughter or separate her from him. So I ask the question of fathers this morning. Do you know where to turn and whom to turn to if you were in this situation? This position is no different than our child being picked on at school or being harassed by others. It is still trouble, and therefore we may need to seek help. So I ask you this morning, do you know whom and where to turn to? There is physical illness and there is spiritual illness. Most fathers know where to turn to for physical illness. They would take their child to the local physician or the local doctor. Many times our children may be cured. But sometimes we need to go further, and do you know where to go to when you need to go further? Any reasonable and responsible father would want the best for his child. So Jairus sought out Jesus. There are biblical examples of fathers who followed after the Lord. And these are fathers who followed closely to the Lord. In Genesis chapter 5, around verse number 22, we can find that Enoch walked with God for 300 years after the birth of his son Methuselah. That's a commitment, church. Noah walked with God in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. Job was one who feared God in Job 1 and 1. All these men was fathers who knew the Lord. Today I suggest that as fathers we all need to come to know God. If you don't already know Him, you need to get to know Him, for there shall be a time, there may come a time when we need to have a way maker, a light to turn to. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. So you need to know who you should be able to turn to in your time of trials and troubles and tribulation. Now, this does not mean that we won't have troubles because we are members and we know the members of the body of Christ and we know the Lord. What it means is that we will have someone who we can tell these troubles to. Look at the text once again in verse number 42. I want you to notice what it says there. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay a dying. Now that's a position that many of us don't relish looking at or being in. She was dying, but as he went, the people managed to throng him. And up in verse 41, the Bible says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruling the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. That's the part I want you to notice. He came to Jesus, and he knew how to come to Jesus. He humbled himself when he came to Jesus. So he went to Jesus. Doesn't matter what station in life you hold. One day we are all going to need Jesus. It may be a momentary crisis, or it may be a life-changing event, but Jesus is still the answer. Again, we understand that he met Jesus in the humblest way that he knew how. He fell at the feet of Jesus. Yes, he held a high office, but he humbled himself and besought Jesus. And then he issued an invitation. Look at the invitation that he issued to Jesus. He besought him that he would come into his house. Have you invited Jesus to your house lately? Have you told your children about Jesus? Have you allowed your children to know all about what Jesus has done for us? Have you invited your house, opened your house to Jesus? Someone may be asking the question this morning, why should it all be put on the fathers to do this? Because the father is the head of the house. A father can lead his family down one path or another, but he is responsible for his household. And I know there are many one-parent households where the mother takes charge of the household. But today we're talking to the fathers. We don't have to put this all on the father, but the Bible is speaking about the father this morning. What the Bible speaks of in today's text is about the father. And then I can go a little bit further according to Ephesians chapter 6 and the verses 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Colossians 3 and verse number 21 tells fathers to provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. How many times have you seen children that seem to be so discouraged? They like nothing in this life. Everything they want seems to be a chore for them because they haven't perhaps been encouraged. They have been discouraged. In today's text, we show a father who is showing great concern for his only daughter. Perhaps today many a child is preparing to uplift their fathers, and that is a good thing. But I need to ask fathers everywhere, are you teaching and setting the proper example for your children? Are you showing your children the proper side of fatherhood? Are you just hoping they never see the real you? Do you train them, teach them, and to respect you and let them know that Jesus is your Savior and Master? You can't skate all the time just pretending to be what you're not. Somewhere along the line, truth is going to catch up with you. Have you taught your children to pray about everything? Have you trained them on being good and law-abiding citizens? Have you told them the story of the cross? You know, that's a good story, the cross. If you tell your children about the cross and you tell them early on, there are going to be some oohs and some ahs, and they're going to raise questions that you need to be in a position to answer for your children. I heard a news story just this past week, and I'm sure you heard the same story, about the father who went into the gas station and left his 8-year-old child in the car while he paid for gas. And when he came out to discover that someone was driving away with his automobile with his son in the back. And this father grabbed hold of the car, and the news footage showed him hanging on to the car because he had concern about his child. He knew that if it was his only opportunity, perhaps his only opportunity, so he held on to the car. All I'm saying is this: trouble is everywhere, even in the gas station. Trouble can be around the corner. Trouble can be down the block. Trouble can be up the block. But sometimes trouble is right in your own home. So we've got to learn to deal with trouble wherever it may come. And the best way I know how is to know Jesus. Have you invited Jesus to your home? Or is Jesus simply a name that's listed in an unused, dust-covered Bible laying around, rarely getting any use by you? Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him." All you got to do is invite Jesus in, and he will come in to sup with you and you with him. Jesus is still accepting invitations. All we need to do is let him in. So this father, as he was watching his daughter, not knowing what to do, and not knowing what more he can do, the Bible says in verse number 42 there once again, "For he only had one daughter, and she was 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." And I'm going to tell you something about that. You've got to learn to know that you don't allow others to get between you and Jesus. Most Christians have friends or people they know who mean well, but sometimes it seems like they become a hindrance. You know who I'm talking about. So some may even offer what to them may seem like good advice. We should offer them a pleasant thank you and let them know, "I know whom to trust in. I know where my help cometh from. I know where I can get help that's helping more than anything in this world can help me." Jesus is the one who can make the impossible possible. According to Luke chapter 18 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." God can make everything possible to us that seems impossible. Even though the crowd followed behind Jesus and Jairus, the objective was for Jesus to heal his child. He didn't care about those others. He humbled himself and invited Jesus to his house. As soon as he got home, He got some sad news in verse number 49. Look at verse number 49 of that same text. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Now you're not troubling Jesus if you go to him with your situation. Jesus knows how to deal with each and every one of us as individuals. He knows just where we are standing. He knows what our problems are. So when they told him that his daughter was already dead, the Bible says, look at verse number 50, if you will. But when Jesus heard it, he answered and saying, fear not, believe today, to believe only, and she shall be made whole. They told him his child was dead. But Jesus said, that ain't so. She is not dead. Don't trouble yourself. Don't trouble yourself. In verse number 48, he said unto her, daughter, be of good... verse number 50. But when Jesus heard it and answered, saying, fear not, believe it only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. Look at verse number 52. This is where I wanted to get to. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. Now to a person who does not believe, that's impossible for them to believe that she is not dead. But Jesus said she is not dead, and Jesus, I submit to you, knows what he is talking about. At all times, not just sometime, as man can be right sometime, but Jesus is right all of the time. So fathers, today your children may be planning to celebrate this day with you. Remind them that today is made possible not by us as fathers, but by the loving and living God. For without him, this day called Father's Day could not have come. Jesus made the day for Jairus. The parents were astonished, according to verse 56. The parents were astonished, for their child was brought back to life. Fathers, you need to let your children know how wonderful God is and how he cares for all of us. When we are in need of help, Jesus is the only one who can go beyond the help of man. He can help when there is no other help available. The Lord is the perfect companion for all of us. What has the Lord done for us? Well, let me tell you some of the things he's done for us. He saved us. He gave us the opportunity to have eternal life. He saved the Israelites from death in the Red Sea and from Pharaoh, who was looking to capture and kill them. He saved us from the bondage of sin. He took the cross of death because we could not save ourselves. He built the church for us to worship him in. So when we gather for Father's Day, let us remember our Lord and Savior and the things that he has done for us in order that we may have this Father's Day. Father's Day. What good is Father's Day with a father that does not try to teach his kids the right direction to go in? What good is a father who doesn't look out for his children? What good is a father who doesn't care enough to introduce Jesus to his children? I'll tell you what good he is. He's good enough to offer him the knowledge and the wisdom of Jesus Christ if you can get him to believe in Jesus. So then, in verse 56, as we close, come to a close here, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I want to tell everybody about Jesus, and you should too. I want to let everybody know how good Jesus has been to us, how good he will be to you if you but just allow him to. Thank God today for Jesus being what he is and who he is. Thank God today that he has left us a way to reach him whenever we're in trouble. Thank God for Jesus Christ this morning. Thank God that he is who he is. For I know I can call upon Jesus anytime I need him. I know that you know that you can call upon Jesus whenever you need him. But you know something that many of us fail to understand? We fail to understand and we question sometimes, how can Jesus do that? Well, I'll tell you how, because he can do everything that's impossible for us to do, he can do it. And how do you know that? Well, because the Bible just said that he can make the impossible possible. Sometimes it seems as though this world is going crazy. Now, we know about the tragedy that occurred down in South Carolina or North Carolina, whichever one of the Carolinas it was in, South Carolina. We know about that. We know about last night somebody was at a block party in Detroit and somebody decided to shoot up the block party. We know about that. We know about all of our young men and women who are hitting the streets today and dying in the streets over nothing. We know about that. But do we know Jesus? Do we know how much Jesus can do for us? Do you know what Jesus is capable of doing, or do you distrust in him? Because you don't trust in him, so you must distrust in him. So when I ask the question today, fathers, as you go out and about your way today, would you let your children know about Jesus? When they take you out to eat today, or when they fix your dinner, don't forget to offer prayer for the food that you're about to eat. Because you owe it to Jesus. Don't forget to say a kind word to your children about Jesus, because you owe it to Jesus. Don't forget to accept and get your children to accept Jesus, because we owe it to Jesus. You know, without him, we would not be here. Because we would have died long time ago. Because God was ready to destroy the world. But Jesus stepped in. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I thank God this morning. And you ought to too. I thank God that for all of the fathers this morning. And ladies, I'll tell you, I'm a little biased because I'm a father too. So if I say a few words more about the fathers, please forgive me. Yes, fathers are a good thing. And I know that without the mother, there will be no fathers. I understand all of that, but I'm not doing a biology lesson this morning. I know all about that without the mothers, that many of our children would not have survived to become what they are today. I know that without the mothers, that many of our children can't make it on their own because they trust a lot in the mothers. But fathers, we need to step up. We need to talk to our children. We need to let them know and let them know that how good and wonderful God is to us. And as I close, I know my time is up. As I close, I want you to understand one thing. If you have not invited Jesus into your house, you need to be like Jairus. You need to invite him in. Invite him to your house. Not with that dusty covered Bible that you have at home, but get down on your knees like Jairus did and invite him to come in. If you do this, just maybe your children will have a better chance at life. Because you are teaching them in which way to go through Jesus. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you are, but you've walked astray, We give you the opportunity at this time to come forward and ask the church to pray with you and for you, that you may gather strength, that you may continue on. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.